This is Wheezy in the Swish.
No, I've noticed it takes her a couple of episodes to sort of like figure out what she's doing, which is it's always strange to see that like
it
afterwards.
Is. Yeah. It is afterwards. Yeah, it's a process. It's like our acts. Are we ready? Or have you been taping for a while, Matt? He does this to us. He starts. Taping.
Oh yeah, I'm rolling.
Okay, so
I had to get some of that because you guys were getting really excited talking about Will and Grace.
We were talking about Will and Grace,
and so I was gesturing to Sigmund. I'm like, start it. He looked confused. Like, what do you want me to? I'm like, start it.
Oh, he thought you were.
We
flipping
need to
him
work
off.
On our hand signals a little
he
bit.
He thought that you were. Angry at him and asking him how many more minutes you had on stage.
I thought she was going to carjack me in a minute.
I'm Louise Palenker, and I'm here with my podcasting partner,
Laura Swisher. And today it's October 15th, Saturday.
And we have a special guest in the studio
named.
My name is Guy.
Guy Branum.
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 Yeah.
How do you spell that?
B-R-A, N like Nebraska, U-M like Montana.
Oh, because I always have to I have to blog about you, and I never know how to spell your name.
Why Nebraska? Why not G-R-A, B-R-A, N like Nicaragua?
No, my mom always, like, the way my mom always did it was N as in Nancy.
That's what I say.
M as in Mary.
Yeah.
And I came to a point, like, when I realized that just sounded really faggy. That just, like...
Right.
And I tried to butch it up.
Nancy and Mary, you're right.
Yeah.
Mary.
I tried to butch it up with some Western states, but it always sounds
Nebraska
awkward.
Nebraska and Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of... And they're sort of anti-fags.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you guys meet the faggots? Did you see my blog today?
Speaking
of faggots.
What happened?
There's a faggot family. The BBC, they did the whole piece on the faggot family.
Really?
Yeah, because faggot is a type of cuisine, and so they had the contest to see who was the most faggot-loving family in Britain. And so all these families, you know, wrote in, and the faggot family that they chose, I guess they created little commercials and stints and, like, how much they love faggots. And so there's literally a picture of the faggot family with, like, sausage that say, like, the faggot family.
But it doesn't even mean that there. It just means...
No, it doesn't. But it's like one of those...
Cigarettes.
Well, cigarettes, bundles of sticks, and I believe the food is like a meatball.
Yeah, it's a food.
I'd heard of,
you know, a fag as in a cigarette, but I didn't... I don't think I knew of... do you think they have faggis? like the Scotch have haggis.
No, but you know what's interesting is that they say puffer for gay person,
poof-ta.
Which is like a way of saying smoking, and then fag means cigarette, which is over here. So we say fag, and we don't know that that means cigarette over there, and they say puffer, and they don't know that that means what you do to a cigarette over here. Am I making any sense at all?
Yeah.
No, you're making
but
perfect,
it all
yeah.
gets
well,
back to
sense.
What one of the acts might be that you would get involved in if you were in love with a man.
Puffing?
On something, yes.
So, Andy, I'm wondering, so I'm talking to Andy, or one of our two, maybe three British listeners. Could there, because there's, as far as a shocking word in this country, like, faggot is, it's pretty much, you know, in the top 10 list of words.
I don't
that
like
you can,
being called that.
They, I don't know, and I'm sorry, and it's not going to happen again,
okay,
Wheezy, and if
you
would stop bringing it up... We could maybe move.
We could move
we
on.
We could move past this.
Okay.
Since the operation, she's a woman now. Okay?
I know. Guy, and then I said that to her.
I wrote
her a card.
I showed him all my scars.
She must like you because I haven't seen any of them. But I mean, so the word faggot is like, you know, it's a pretty shocking word. And I'm just wondering, could there be a...
we have...
He found the website. Look at Matt.
They look like
they're
perfectly
very proud
ordinary.
Of being faggots.
Oh, yes, they are.
And why shouldn't they be?
I want that campaign launched in the United States.
Last night at Groundworks, an open mic here in L.A., a guy called me a faggot.
Really?
Yeah. I went up and I, of course, did my, like, you know, sassy, aggressive, talking smack at people sort of act. And
he like said something from the audience, and I of course tore into him after that. So then he comes up after me and is like, "Where are you from?" And I'm like, "Northern California." And he's like, "They got a lot of faggots up there."
Oh, it was a comic that said it?
Yeah, it was a comic.
Oh, we want names, please.
I don't know his name. He wasn't funny. He wasn't funny enough for me to care.
What did he look like? What did he look like?
He had absolutely no neck.
He must have been new. He's probably
Taylor.
New. He was new? No, it wasn't David Taylor.
But David Taylor might have actually been funny.
He actually has a neck.
And he has a long neck.
He has a very long neck. But no, it was just, it was kind of lame. And so I was going to get pissed off. But then I was just like, who cares?
See, it's always the new, not always, but a lot of the newer comics will try and say something really shocking. Like, I'm sure in his mind, he was being really edgy. Like, I'm a guy, I'm a street guy, and I'm not afraid to call someone a faggot.
Yeah.
And, I guess it's not.
He should be afraid. Because Guy, we need to introduce Guy with his proper credits. He's a stand-up comedian.
And
he also... He's a gay guy.
Yes.
So his mother affectionately calls him gay guy, I think. Yes.
No? I call you gay guy.
No, she likes to think of me as a disappointment.
Okay.
She likes to think of you that way, or she just does?
She has to.
Right.
It's
she doesn't
obligation.
Enjoy it, but she does.
No.
She just
what
does.
Would make you not a disappointment?
If I were actually practicing law and having sex with a woman who was a lot like my mom.
A lawyer, perhaps?
Hey,
if you were a straight guy screwing a female lawyer.
My mom would think she was uppity. My mom would want someone who
like a legal assistant, like, a legal secretary.
Yes, non-threatening to her. Yes.
So you're a lawyer, right?
Yes.
So you're a lawyer in your mother's imagination. You're a straight lawyer.
Yes.
And you are having sex with... a perky young miss who works around the office in a clerical type of position.
She's Jewish, so she wouldn't be perky. So
all
she would be somewhat bitter.
Bitter?
Yes.
But she would be someone who would be, I don't know, what else would your mother dream? That she would arrive at the home with something she had baked?
Yes, but giving my mother an opportunity to criticize and show distaste for it, which would make my mother very happy.
Oh, I see. I understand. Now, let me ask you this question. Having been raised in that environment, how proud of you do Laura and I have to be to compensate for that?
Well, Louise, as a Jewess yourself, you have extra power. Like, the weight that your caring and approval holds is,
it's more than mine, actually.
It helps. Yes, and
I have to try 20% harder to get the same sort of
I've long maintained I like Jews 15% better. Like, if I know someone and I find out they're Jewish, I like them 15% better.
Really?
Yeah, and is there someone you want to discuss right now, Laura?
Who do I want to discuss?
Rebecca Cohen.
Why do I want to discuss Rebecca Cohen?
Because Rebecca Cohen she's a friend of mine who lives in New York and is basically like just as good as Laura, but she's Jewish as well, and that's why she'll always be my best friend. It's always why Laura is my second best friend.
Oh, I see.
Because I'm not Jewish.
In order for me to put Laura and I at a more equal basis, I'm going to have to be 15% bitchier to you.
Yes.
Okay. I understand. I understand
a little more
the
judgmental.
Game, the rules of the game as it's being played. Mm-hmm. And but that's not my personality. So he's just going to love me more, and I think you're going to have to.
If I converted with that, counter,
I think
just
it should.
Like,
no, it totally
definitely
would.
Really?
It totally would. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I would be like, I'm trying too hard.
Yeah, I know. But
you know, Laura, you're adopted. You might be Jewish.
Yeah.
I could be Jewish.
You might be Jewish. In fact,
that
let's
be an
assume
extra 5
she is.
Points.
Let's just assume she is.
It's Schrodinger's Jewess.
Because
that was a physics joke.
What did you say?
That's why I'm laughing over here.
It was a physics joke.
I didn't
joke.
Get it.
Never
why
mind.
Don't you guys?
I'm way too Jewish to get physics jokes.
Not only
jokes.
That, she's a cat. What if she just goes kosher? She doesn't have to be Jewish. What if she just eats kosher?
Let's stop talking.
At this point, let me just tell our listeners, as Guy just made a joke about Schrodinger's
cat.
And who's Schrodinger?
German physicist.
Yeah.
Jewish?
Doesn't matter.
Is he seeing anyone?
I don't think he was Jewish because he was kind of around during that point at which you know, they sort of eliminated all those.
He might not have
been. Can you explain the joke time. Though to someone like me who doesn't
condescendingly please
yeah,
try
please
to condescendingly approach our
explain
level.
The joke.
Okay, Schrodinger was basically talking about things that have happened that we don't have information for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so sort of the hypothetical situation was you put a cat in a box with poisonous gas in a tube and a piece of radioactive material that as it decayed would break through the seal on the tube and potentially kill the cat.
I don't like this story.
And so while the box is still closed, the cat is both alive and dead. And
oh.
Things like that.
Okay.
What does that have to do with Laura? Oh.
So now let me make my point, guys.
Yes.
This is the point of the show where I will point out that Guy received a what on your LSAT?
Let's stop.
Oh, let's not pretend that you don't want the world to know you got a perfect score.
I want to know why you're not practicing law, you lazy son of a bitch.
I know. I just wanted to say that between the two of you, bragging and ridiculing at me, it is just like having mom.
It's
here.
Like being home. It's like being home.
But yes. I just want to point out that even though guys like we can stop right now,
he's
really does want me to point out
he's
that he did get a perfect score on his LSAT.
Wow.
Thank you.
What kind of, if you were practicing law, hypothetically, because I don't think that you want to, and I want you to be happy.
Yes.
But if you were practicing law, what type of law would make you the least unhappy?
I always really liked working with like legislative interpretation and stuff like that, which is fun. Probably the thing that would make me happiest would be being an academic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, if you were straight, I would totally go out with you.
Isn't he too young for you, though?
I don't know. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Yeah, but he's kind of balding, so he might be,
yeah.
You know.
Yes. Weezy likes older gentlemen, which is why I bring this up.
I just don't
but
like...
But he has a...
they don't have to be old.
He's got a great intellect, so that could compensate.
Right. It would make him seem more mature.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't... When you say older gentleman, it sounds like I'm dating like 87-year-olds. But I just like...
If you could.
People that are mature.
If they'd have me.
All right, now we have some business to attend to because the way that I met Guy is through Laura Swisher, my podcasting partner.
Right.
And the way that she met Guy is through Tech TV, which is now...
No. Let me back up. Guy met Tech TV is me.
Really? This is so fun. I'm finding out so much. Okay, go ahead.
I'm responsible for Guy's current career.
Really?
I'm responsible for so many people's careers in this town.
You can hold so much over him.
And yet, when I'm...
And you do.
When I'm out of the job, who comes to my rescue? No one.
He hired me instead of you. He went right past you.
I know. And
to get to me.
Who gets on the show again? Wheezy. But actually, I don't want to be on the show. So...
Oh, come on.
I don't.
She refuses. I've tried to put her on our network many times.
Since
she was so cruelly fired.
I don't have a big desire to go back to that place where you work.
You know what,
which is
Laura,
a lovely place.
Just so that you know.
And I've got some friends there.
Guy goes, here, come here. It's craft services. Okay, you walk into a room and there are all these industrial... boxes directly off the forklift from Smart and Final of maybe fruit box. Nothing's open. Nothing's accessible. There's a jar of peanut butter, but there's no spoon or knife.
Around Wednesday, they run out of bread.
And this is...
But Monday at Craft Services is the most magical thing
it's
ever.
It's the most magical day of the week.
And there's cast and crew just sort of scavenging for bits and pieces of something edible. And there's Morgan Webb just kind of like diving through like crates of...
What was she wearing?
Her hair was done up. It was pulled back. It was very nice. And I hadn't like realized that Louise would know who she was. So I was like, that woman.
Do you want to know why I know who she is?
I'm assuming, yes, please.
Nick Schultz.
Yeah. hey, Nick. Apparently Louise and Morgan then went on to have a nice long conversation about the many fans shared by X-Play and Wheezy and the Swish.
So, yeah. Guy, what do you do over at G4? Just
what do you
so
do
our
over
listeners
there?
Can,
what do you do?
Before we launch into...
How we met one another...
Oh, yeah.
We have to finish how we met one another.
Yeah, I want
to
hear
this. All right, so I went to an open mic in San Francisco. I was a comic there. And these two attractive young women looked like, you know, like 18, 19 years old, had shown up. And they were like, oh, wow, there's an open mic going on here.
No, it was because you had Mike Martinez. He was like, hey, ladies, do you like comedy? Like literally trying to get an audience and pulling the audience off the street. And so I was like, oh, well, this can anybody just show up? He's like, yeah, you can just sign up. And the comics kind of snickered.
I feel like I was there.
Well, and I just want to emphasize that you were wearing the green coat that you used to distance yourself from humanity. So you really looked like about 12 years old. So they go. It was her and Blair Butler, the head writer of X Play.
And oh, Blair. She came over and said hi at G4 the other day.
But they go in and they go up and they both do sets. And, like... there weren't really that many female comics in San Francisco, and so I was like the shepherd of the gay comics and the female comics. There weren't really any gay comics. And when there were gay comics, I hated them. So it was pretty.
Guy led them to a field with a cane.
So I pretty much just I took care of the girls though, and I took them outside and was like, "Hey, ladies, you know, good job for your first time. You guys have potential. You stick with it." Little did I realize, between the two of them, they had like, you know, they were. Like many years of skill and more TV credits than I could ever hope for and blah, blah, blah. And so then months later, Laura needed a dancing fat man for her show.
No, faggot. I needed a dancing faggot and I knew just who to call.
Yeah, don't call yourself fat.
And that was how I got the job. But now I'm a producer for G4TV.com.
By the way, so then our show, Unscrewed, gets canceled and so we all lose our jobs, and then guess who's back less than a month later?
Golden boy.
That was the second time I was fired by G4. I can only hope that a third is around the corner.
What do you mean second time?
Well, the first time I was technically, when we moved down from San Francisco to LA, I was technically fired and like gone for like a month. Like,
really?
By Paul Block? Did Paul Block fire you?
Well, no, they just like my program got canceled and I was not a writer for her show yet. I was a web writer, and they brought me down as a writer for her show. And then our show got canceled, and then I went back to work for this talk show about video games. And but my show now is just like it's like boring. We love the show, but it's very dry and video game based, and I don't get to like write comedy stuff anymore.
Aww.
So our friend Casey, who writes for one of the fun shows, I frequently
not the fun, but one of the more entertainment heavy show with the emphasis on entertainment as opposed to straight information like G4. I'm trying to help you keep your job here,
okay,
guy.
Okay. just.
I'm just kidding. You like your job.
I do like my job.
You looked like you were having fun over there.
That's because I was getting that. That's because I was not working on my show. I love working on my show. I love working with.
Laura is motioning a handgun signal at his head.
No. She was shooting herself in the foot to show that I was shooting myself in the foot. It's nice to change.
You'd rather work on Attack of the Show.
No, I'm happy.
Guys, clearly destined for the screen itself.
You'd rather have sex with Casey. Okay, I've gotten to it. Okay.
Not remotely. What Casey and I share is spiritual and intellectual.
And deeper than just sex.
It's deep.
Okay.
What Laura and I have, purely physical.
Purely.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyway, but, you know, it's nice to get to work on lots of different kinds of shows. So I had this idea for him, and I suggested it.
Oh, it was your idea?
It was my idea.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And
what was the idea?
Well, yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's tell people what happened.
Okay. The idea was Brendan Moran's book club.
Laura's eating while you talk.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I wanted Brendan to have more screen time because my initial job, while Laura was there, was to get Laura on camera as much as possible. Mm-hmm. I was like, and now I'm in a vacuum. Like, I don't have someone to take care of. I have to share my emotions. Like, I have to be excessively involved with Sarah Lane's hair because there's nobody who has really complex hair anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like 30% of my job while Swisher was there was just commenting on her hair.
On her hair.
Yeah. So I was like, Brendan Moran's book club, and
So explain to people that don't get G4. Brendan Moran is one of the stars of Attack of the Show.
He's like the reporter for Attack of the Show. And
he is a tasty adorable.
He is the best person on the planet to flirt with. He's slightly kind of just very charming, kind of handsome straight guy. And it's the best thing to flirt with. You know, flirting with actual gay guys, there's no fun there.
Really? Why?
Because you're actually trying and you like this could go somewhere. But when it can't go anywhere, then it's just the pure joy of flirtation.
So what you're saying to me as a straight woman is, Louise,
look at me.
Okay.
Look at me.
If I really want to flirt, I should just be flirting with gay men that I'm never going to have sex with, because flirting with straight men is never.
Do you believe that? Do you believe that it's a never? Or maybe. Maybe.
He's doing something with his eyes that's
and you're
pretty
totally
cute.
Falling for it. Yeah. Guy could have you right now.
Because I haven't flirted with gay guys, but you're saying I should start.
Yes, I'm saying you should.
There's no disappointment in it.
There's no disappointment in it. Mm-hmm. Or try lesbians, except that.
No.
You can make out with gay guys,
no,
too.
No, because lesbians, you don't understand. I'm too attractive to lesbians. it's very dangerous.
I never thought about it before. But you're sort of sweet and intellectual and very very polite, and I can see how they would be.
I would be the Anne Murray of comics. And there would be rooms full of lesbians lining up to see me and then finding out that I'm straight and going home bitterly disappointed.
Any draw you can get, okay?
Okay.
If you bring the people, then you'll get the stage time.
Okay.
Anyway,
back to your idea.
So okay. I pitched the idea to Casey, and he was like, he liked it, and I was really surprised that his show ended up saying go ahead with it. The thing is that normally when we're doing sketches at
Did you guys say what the
G4,
idea was yet?
The idea was that Brendan had a book club, like Oprah's book club, and it was like geek books, but things always just kept going in a like Oprah's book club direction of like ladies talking about lady things.
And it was supposed to be about hardcore tech or hardcore gaming books. Okay.
So they said to go ahead, but like we always use interns from the office or people from the office, but everyone in the office is a guy essentially. And so I was like the official like hookup for ladies. Like I was going to bring in lady comedians.
None of the guys actually know ladies.
No, see, that's
the
thing that's interesting is straight guys don't know any women at G4, but they knew that guy would know ladies.
I am constantly surrounded by a miasma of ladies. Mm-hmm. I think we like as the core of that miasma, you must know that, Laura.
Can I just say,
hang out with Dustin.
This is the first time that the word miasma has been used on the show.
I don't know why I'm pronouncing it miasma though, because normally I say miasma. I'm stupid.
But then
miasma,
it makes it sound miasma. Like you have asthma.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so I was like, okay, so I'll get ladies. So I was planning on getting like you, Caroline Leaf, Wendy Wilkins, you know, people that I know from
our
from
Westwood Brewco group of gals.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. Except that like a bunch of people ended up like not being able to do it. And then like several people I like talked to about it, but then I never like gave them the specific information because I'm a very bad producer. And so we ended up being like short. And so on the actual day of shooting, you were there. Phoebe Goodman was there, and
intern Emily.
Where was Deb Cox?
Intern Emily.
She has a day job.
Yes, and I had not. Mm-hmm. I had not. Get, like she called me for the like directions and everything, and I didn't get the call because my phone was screwed up.
Mm. You're not a good producer.
His phone's always
screwed
off.
Let's not kid ourselves. I'm an amazing producer.
Oh yeah.
You're
an idea man. You're not an execution man.
You know what? I always hate, whenever I'm working on a project, guy, I totally relate to this. I hate the task of gathering the people or trying to assemble a meeting and having to call everyone 100 different times because everyone can do it here, but not there, but here, but not there, but not there, but not here. I hate that part of the task. So I totally, you and I, if you had a vagina, we might be the same person.
Well, also, I was not, like, it was not officially my project. So, like, and let's not assume that I don't have a vagina, okay? but it wasn't my project, so
it's
like
on his back. Damn that Malathion.
Get it where you can. But it wasn't my project, so somebody else was deciding like when it was going to be shot and stuff, and so I was having to call you guys because it was originally supposed to be like Thursday, then it was Tuesday, blah blah blah. The point is that eventually. Oh, and I'm scared of using the phone. Let's.
Oh my God, you and I.
Yeah, I know.
I swear to God. Who's your mom? Because we might be related.
Right, no, you're not nearly thick enough to be my mother.
I've never had that type of compliment worded in quite that fashion.
But
and thank you.
The point is that we, at the last minute, we need an extra lady. And you had
and
told
who
me.
Came through for you?
You told me before to call Melinda Rubin. I did not know this person. If I'm scared to use the phone, I'm even more scared to call strangers on the phone.
No, I'm just like that.
Melinda Rubin shows up, like, you know, we call her, half an hour later, she's there, she was perfect. They were, like, oh, and the set was amazing. I mean, the set was like...
Where did you guys... I saw the pictures, and I did... What, did you guys buy that, the sheeting, or how did that happen?
Okay, at G4, we have this form, it's called a crew facilities request form.
Oh, actually, they're very good, those guys. The art department, they're amazing.
And
I forgot
like a,
about that.
It's like a prayer. Like, one time...
it's like the wall, the Great Wall of Jerusalem.
You put anything on there, and they take care of it. And, like, it's so much fun to be, like... Like, one time, I was like, all right, we're going to put together a fake Nintendo Revolution. And so I was just like, make it be a ball and put Japanese things on it. But just go wild. And they bring back the coolest stuff.
They're really good.
Yeah. So anyway, it was this really nice looking set.
And a lot of daisies.
With a lot of daisies and very lady looking. And there was a tea set.
There wasn't really tea. There was just a tea set.
There was a tea set. But the point is that... Louise was amazing.
What was her role? What'd she have to do?
I was a crazy woman.
Louise was like Sherry.
Give us a taste.
Sherry's out of her mind.
Sherry was like sort of like the helpful, like guiding person who helps you out. Like, I believe, intern Emily was blaming herself for her boyfriend breaking up with her. And Sherry was like, no, it's not your fault.
Let's get a taste.
Oh,
can we run a clip?
I don't know.
Run a clip.
Do you mean like reenact myself? I can't reenact myself. That's what Laura
Buckles
is.
But you're not supposed to point out that you're doing it. You're just supposed to pretend that you're back there.
Shh. Gary broke up with me. It's all my fault.
Do not go there. Do not do that to yourself. I won't allow it. Stop it. And then I had to say like these.
I had to say cliche
things like men are pigs and men are dogs. Which
I enjoying this.
Well, no. The most hilarious thing is having like a video, let's face it, a video game boy geek like Casey try to write something for women.
It was hilarious.
On the one hand, it's like a little bit cliched, but then you get into the stuff about like waiting for the elliptical machine, and it's like, wow, Casey, you really understand.
She thinks that all we do is sign up for gym enrollment and then go to Applebee's. Maybe not in that order. Maybe we go to Applebee's and then we go to the gym.
Was there an Applebee's reference?
There was an entire Applebee's.
Casey, no.
It was funny. But like, I was honestly like, Melinda did a really great job of improvising, but we had this really, really quiet intern girl named Emily.
Brought her up to her game.
Yeah. Like she really, like no one had ever used her properly up to that point. And the two of them, like there was this one of the packages was basically just the two of them having to like improv significant portions of it while Brendan talked. Like, so they would be low and Brendan would be audible and then it would reverse.
Right.
And they did just like really, really good improv. And you guys did a great job of like...
Has there been any feedback yet from the segment?
No. I think it's entirely possible that the segment will never make it on the air.
Really?
I can get bootlegs though, and you guys can put it up on the internet
will.
Yourselves.
Okay, yeah. And we will.
But if it if it doesn't make the air, guy, then how am I supposed to continue telling people that I am a semi-regular on a television show?
You just do. You just continue saying I'm a semi-regular on Attack of the Show.
It's no one's heard of the show, so they won't know.
That's okay. But when will I find out? See, this is the first acting I've ever done, Laura.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. Excuse me. I'm a stand-up comedian.
So how was it? Were you nervous?
I was nervous. I was a little nervous because you had to memorize each script like right before we did it.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
There were five scripts, and there was no way we were going to learn all those lines. Mm-mm. And you just kind of had to just remember what your cue was and then be in the moment.
Yeah.
And Guy was there, so I felt supported. Safe. And loved, yes. Mm-hmm. And Melinda was sitting right next to me. I've known Melinda for 15 years. She was my intern. When I started Premier Radio Network, she was my first intern. So she's like my little sis. And she's great at stuff like this. So I knew that she'd be great. And we had a ball. And if it doesn't make the air, it's just going to make the story a little less impactful. So
nah. It's scheduled for this Monday, and they've got an hour to fill. And
they'll throw it in.
They'll throw it in.
And then they'll get all this mail. We want more of Brendan's book club.
Yeah.
And I know that Laura, this must be touching upon some hurt feelings for Laura, because we're talking about me being on G4 when you, a month ago, who would have thought that this moment, it would be like me coming in today and saying, hey, Laura just testified at the Michael Jackson trial. Now, how would I be okay with that?
Hey, Laura,
then I would
just
have
founded,
to just be okay with that.
Laura just founded Clear Channel 2. And then, ow. Ow. That would have been a gut punch.
A gut punch. So how are you doing with this?
Well, now that I can say that I've been on LTN, local television network.
Oh, you made air?
I'm okay.
You made air?
Sort of.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's not that exciting. In fact, I think I deleted it from my faux TiVo because it was a man on the street type thing. They were asking suggestions from passersby on what Tom and Katie's baby should be called.
Oh.
But we did this on the roof, and behind us was the Scientology building, which I thought was kind of a nice touch. And so I just, you know, I vamped a little in front of the camera.
I think
people
the baby
like
should be...
As you're wont to do.
As I'm wont to do, yeah.
Isn't the baby going to be L. Ron Cruz?
Everyone said that.
But okay.
I said it the funniest.
I think Operating Thetan Maypother.
No, there was... Oh, in one of the magazines, I did a little bit of homework and read the latest gossip rags. But one was... it was some, like... Some, you know, whatever.
Laura's
the
really,
weird...
really bad at playing magazine time, but continue, Laura.
We will play magazine time.
Are we gonna do that next?
No, not next. We're just talking. Go ahead.
I don't remember the name. It was a specific name, and they changed it to the feminine if it was a girl, and it was kind of funny.
That's hilarious, Laura.
Yes, it
Why
is.
Why don't you tell that story again?
Here, give me the, I'm not good at storytelling.
It's okay. Why don't you?
And then you snap at me because I can't remember every line of dialogue.
And I'll snap again.
Shh, girl.
But listen. Laura, I was actually rejected for hire by Laura's company. Laura, tell them why.
He's not hip enough.
I'm not hip enough.
And he sweat a
You're
lot
not
that
hip.
Day.
And I sweat a lot.
They said that to you and you repeated it back to him?
No,
what kind of a friend? What kind of a person?
Because
An honest
I had,
one.
Let you me don't just, tell people
yes,
that someone
do.
Else
yes,
said
you,
they sweat.
Yes,
no,
you
don't.
Let me tell you why, Wheezy. I pitched Guy because they were looking for a gaming expert to update us on the latest games. And I guess you can tell us about that in a second. So I'm like, my friend Guy, who auditioned for the show, and I'm like, you might remember him, like, big gay guy. And I found, they talked to one of the producers, she's like, oh, yeah, Michael didn't really like him. I mean, he just came in, and he was kind of flustered and had, like, sweat stains in his pits. And I'll tell you why that is, because Guy doesn't have a car right now and then is always like 15-30 minutes late, and so probably was like running and came in and was upset that he was late and, you know, did his guy thing. So I had to tell him, because that was his was it your very first audition?
Yes,
it was his very first audition. And I know that Guy is very funny, and I know that that they did not see the guy that they could have seen. And Guy needs to know when he goes to auditions, he has to bring it. And he can't, you know, that's the first impression is that, you know, you're the sweaty guy.
But
wait, the flustered
sweaty
guy.
Let's remember, A, I did get a call back. And B, it was very important for me to get this information because... So I don't do it again.
So are you okay with this?
Yes, I just enjoy bitching about it. For the near future, I'm going to bitch about it.
You know, I just think that at the end of the day, when our legacy is noted, that none of us... are going to be judged on the basis of our pit stains.
Yeah, but maybe none of us will be known, because the day that we had the opportunity that would have changed our lives completely, we had pit stains. And so in the future, we're just podcasting instead of on Knots Landing 2.
But, some people just sweat. My sister sweats, and I don't.
The point is, if you have an audition and you sort of know that, then you prepare, you put a jacket on, you do whatever, but there are first. It's Hollywood. It's like it's all image. So you got to be cognizant of that when you go into a place, and don't give anyone a reason to dismiss you right off the bat.
I guess that's good advice.
Oh, it's damn good advice.
And with that having been said, do you want to read? Do you want to read the letter that we got? Or,
in a actually, oh, we touched on gaming, and Guy is Mr. Gaming King, so I thought we'd get a little update, whatchamajig.
What's up in gaming?
Or now do you feel like you're put on the spot?
No.
He's not sweaty. I think he's going to be fine.
I've always considered my sweating to be a skill. I mean, I don't look upon it as a negative thing.
Well, he can shoot it out with amazing accuracy. So literally, he could sweat and like get you in your eye. Like a cobra.
Well, I have glasses.
Okay. Like the game I'm most excited about right now that we just got in at the network is called SSX on Tour, and it's like a snowboarding game. And
want it?
It's really good. It's for like PS2, Xbox, and GameCube. I've really enjoyed all of the other SSX.
Is it better than Tricky?
It's so much better than Tricky. There's a step in between Tricky and Now, okay?
Okay.
3 had the most amazing snow rendering. And this one, like, the snow doesn't feel as real, but it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. Actually, most of the developments on this one, like, I didn't get to play it that much, but there's a lot of, like, customizing your character, which I find a little bit boring. This isn't The Sims, you know? Like, I don't really care what kind of facial hair the guy has as he's going down the mountain. I just want to start improving his balance.
But if I can just speak as a 16-year-old boy, which yes. I think I'm able to do because
you kind of are.
Well, yeah. No, one of my best friends like, kind of watched his kids grow up with him, and his oldest son, Kelsey, would spend hours customizing a character and never even play the game. The kid is very graphic and he's good at art, and you know, he has an eye for. And he would just have a blast with that. With Tony Hawk, you know, he would just spend forever on that aspect of the game. So I think boys like that. I don't know what it is exactly. It's maybe like playing God. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of playing God, there's a really cool game that just came out. It's a sequel to Black. There was a game that came out like 5 years ago called Black and White. It's Black and White 2. And you are, like, you're God and you have a little village and you have to like get them to be like, you have to like train them up, get them to be wealthy, and then
who's
go
them?
Conquer other villages. You have like little people. You have little people in your village, and you have like an animal avatar that can either be like an like mean. Like I don't know whether how comfortable you guys are with me cussing
because we can cuss because Pat O'Brien cusses often on the show. Pat, are you here to cuss for us, please, in a sexy kind of growly way? Thank you. That was Pat cussing.
That was lovely. The point is you can be an asshole. Like, so you've got this village. It's like SimCity. Like, it's like a city building game, but you're also like, you're God and you're having to direct these people like what they should be doing with their lives. And you can have like your little animal creature like eat them and make them scared of you. And that's why you're powerful, or like love you because you're like so good at making grain for them and stuff like that.
So is that a hard game to learn?
No, because it like, the whole like first 3 or 4 hours is it taking you through step by step what you need to know about like how to run these people's lives. It's very like, I actually get kind of annoyed with how like long the tutorial goes on.
Oh, so, really? Because
yeah.
I like.
Can you skip the tutorial and just?
Nope.
You wouldn't know what you were doing.
Yeah. There's not even the option of that, which annoyed me with the first Black and White.
So Black and White's been a very popular title. Well, so
it's solid. There's this guy, Peter Molyneux, who made like that and like several other quite innovative games, like Fable, this role-playing game. And he always like says, oh, it's going to be amazing. You're going to be God. You're going to get to do absolutely everything. And then his game comes out and it's like, oh, that's nice. It's a solid game, though. It's a solid game.
But you know what I find with gaming? And because most games, like when I watch G4, all of the games that they're talking about have to do with creating mayhem and carnage. And it's just, that is not at all satisfying for me. I like The Sims. I like Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
I like games. I mean, as a woman who isn't afraid of video games and will play them, I like games where it's goal oriented and you get to try and make something happen in a certain amount of time or with a certain degree of success, so that you're not just going around just killing and maiming, because that's not at all, that's not anything I would ever do.
Well, I think like
what about the manslaughter charge from last year?
That I was very drunk. Go ahead.
But it's manslaughter. It wasn't intentional.
I am not going to hang out with Halle Berry anymore. Okay? Back off. Go ahead.
Boys have like a really weird sense about the world. And there are some games that are very, very boy games. And it's weird because you have like the whole like shooting game like thing that I've never been particularly into. And then there's like the civilization, like I want to take over the world. Like maniacal, like slow quest to power, which I love those games, but girls hate them. Like
I
like
hate them.
Girls don't like Risk, and girls are bad at Risk. And what?
I don't want power.
That's your problem, baby.
I just want everyone to get along.
That's your problem. That's why you're still making 70 cents on the dollar. Okay. If you guys were more megalomaniacal, you know, you would have equal rights.
You know, but I have a theory on the age discrepancy between men and women.
You mean the income discrepancy?
Yeah.
What's your theory?
I believe that women are Canadian. Isn't that funny of me?
That's a good joke, Laura.
Thank you.
That's hilarious.
You should totally put that in your act.
I'm going to.
If someone did that on stage and properly set it up, that would be really
That's
funny.
That's a great joke.
Oh, do you have any ideas for me?
What?
Do you have any ideas for me to how to like make it better?
No, just how you said it. You said it perfectly. That was great.
No, I just thought maybe Guy would have some insight into how I could improve
it. That's one
of my jokes. That's one of my jokes that she's doing. Hey, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you already gave her that joke?
No. I didn't give her that joke. That's mine. Laura, how was your
first... cheater. You acted like that was a total ad lib, off the cuff. You cheat.
Louise, what was your first time like sexually? What was your first...
Not good.
What was your first time? Was it magical?
No.
Was it magical?
Not at all.
My first time was magical.
Really?
Yeah, the guy met me over and pulled a rabbit out of my ass. That's a Laura joke. That's my favorite Laura joke. Never do that on stage.
I'm going to start.
That is. I have heard her do that. That is a good joke.
All right, let's go to the letter.
Oh, the letter. Okay. So our message board place, bulletin board, what's it called? Our
message board.
Message board place where people hang out and write things and post little pictures of themselves. We got our first, and this is great because I guess people are getting so comfortable with this Wheezy and the Swish, which they've now called WATS, WATS. WATS, how do we pronounce our acronym?
Well, W and, the little and symbol.
So we need an acronym that just is like a one
WATS.
Syllable.
WATS. Sure.
So WATS is now a
then
comfortable.
Then I think of riots, though.
Then let's just be WATS.
Okay.
Or WATS. Like, what's up? What's up? No, because that's stupid. Okay. So WATS, which is longer to say because the word W has like 7 syllables in it, you know, and it doesn't shorten anything. I don't know why people think that shortens anything. Like George W. Bush. Can't you just call him George Walker Bush? You'd be saving like 2 entire syllables. All right. I'm digressing. Anyway, they're comfortable enough to start kind of confessing their deepest concerns. And so we got this message from... And I don't know. They have their little screen names, and I can't figure out who they are. We only have 30.
I don't ever pay attention. Like, I just know that I get a lot of email from a Butternut, and we get a lot of posts from an Oakmist. And I don't.
Oh, Oakmist is Andy with an I.
See, I may or may not remember that in the future. I just recognize, you know, if people. I'm not going to be able to track.
There's no mistaking
discern.
Nick, because his screen name is
Nick D.
Schultz.
Yeah.
That made Guy chuckle. Okay.
And Nick
So
Day.
This is from El Kabong, and I don't know who that really is, but he is falling in love with his tutor. He's 19 or 20. He's in college. His tutor's a year younger than him, and he wrote something like that he's afraid to tell her. He doesn't think that she'll ever know how much he likes her because if he tells her and then she goes away, he doesn't know what life would be like without her and if he weren't able to see her face or hear her voice, and it hurts more than I can bear. Damn my cowardice. And then, of course, the first piece of advice he got was from guess who?
Nick D. Schultz.
And Nick D. Schultz, whether or not he's ever had a girlfriend, I don't know. He's only 16. But he certainly wrote a nice piece of advice. But Laura doesn't like it when I read. And then
Read Nick's advice.
Nick wrote something like, I don't know what to say about this. My logic and limited knowledge of relationships is a tad pessimistic, but I've never been in that situation before. Well, what support I can give is this. Be confident and don't act any different around her than you would around your friends. Do not treat her like a queen or go out of your way to be overly generous to her. Women see that as manipulation, a way of saying, I'm insecure and don't think you'd like me for me, so I'm trying to bribe you into liking me.
Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Really? Because I think guys can sometimes be like really self-conscious about liking someone and like be scared of opening up enough to be nice and, you know, do nice things.
Well, no, we want to be treated like a queen. We want to be treated nicely and we want to be treated with respect. But if somebody is doing too much tap dancing,
yeah,
it almost seems like they're trying too hard, and they don't think really like there,
it's,
I think don't really like them.
It's creepy.
And it's a lack of respect.
Yeah. Not really creepy, but we either like you or we don't. We just for you. You don't have to.
Well, some women I think definitely go for, you know, they're going to go for money or whatever. But the point I think is that we are going to be better at recognizing a guy's intention than he is at fooling us, I think.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be, especially if you're 16 or something. I
mean, well, he's 19 or 20.
But I don't know.
I think if we've been around you, we already know your personality. And if you want to impress us, just be more of who you are.
I guess here's my point. If a woman is not interested in you, you're not going to make her interested in you by spending a lot of money on her. And she might actually accept it because it's like, oh, it's a free meal, it's whatever. But you're still going to be at the exact same spot.
It's, I mean, it's like the God games. It's like the megalomania, like guys trying to like, I think guys have a real inclination to like control things, you know,
yes.
and sort of make things happen.
Oh.
And I don't know. I just think, you know, frequently the best answer is just to like, you know.
So what's your advice then?
Try to take an interest in the things that interest her. Like, you know, try to
legitimately
get to know her as a person. I mean,
I love ballet.
I think he's been trying. Well, what Nick goes on, he has some really nice things to say too. For a 16-year-old, I thought
I'd love to get a secret of the traveling pants.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Exactly.
And it was a very good film.
What I wrote was that it's certainly possible to stay friends even after he says he likes her if she doesn't like him. It's certainly
maybe.
And you know, it has happened to me and it is possible.
Maybe.
But what I said is that I do think that women are waiting for guys to make the first move, but I think that we give lots of clues.
Yeah.
We do a lot of eye contact. We find a reason to phone. We touch your arm. We give clues. And so I asked him in my post to him, is this going on? And he told me the story of the pencil. Would you guys like to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay. She asked.
The pencil was a clue? Was there like DNA evidence on it or something?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Bear me out. All right. Okay. He told me the story of the pencil. She accidentally, and I want to know what you guys think. She accidentally scratched him with her pencil, and then she spent a considerable amount of time rubbing it out of his arm and making sure that the mark was gone. So there's a lot of touching involved in the removal of a pencil mark. And then patting it to make sure he was okay. And I said, based on the pencil incident, ask her out.
Hmm.
What do you guys think?
Sometimes a pencil incident is just a pencil incident.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe.
She could have handed him a rag, you know, with some moisture on it.
Some girls are just really solicitous, though. Like, really, like...
They're just really flirtatious just for random reasons.
Well, not even, like, flirtatious. It's just, like, she may have felt really, really bad for having scratched him, and she was, like, going after it. But I think...
That's a lot of body contact, though.
That's true.
I think, you know, I would, you know, like, regauge it. You know, sort of be, like, he could maybe, like, clue her in, you know?
He should give clues and see if she picks up on any of his, like...
What would the clues be from a guy?
The clues would be...
unzipping?
Well, for example,
erection.
When I was in...
Like, the thing about men is that there's no mystery to our attraction. Like, if we're into things, like, it becomes evident. Sorry.
I would always get...
Oh, you mean like downstairs?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I'd get checked into lock... What do you call it when you... Like in hockey, that...
Oh,
that
body slam?
Yeah.
Checked into the boards, yeah.
I'd get checked into the lockers... Well, this was a guy in college who wasn't that smooth, and so I definitely knew he liked me, but I wasn't that interested in him. And he was literally like we were in third grade and would like pull my hair or
Aww.
Trip me, and it was kind of annoying. But
my first step when I'm attracted to someone is to resent and hate them.
It's to violence.
Yeah, it's just, he's probably going to reject me. That asshole!
I'll hate him first.
Yes. But, you know, I think, like, he could, you know, he
can't
could,
he just ask
what
her
about
out?
Coffee? Like, just like,
coffee. That's what I said. Coffee,
coffee is the
do
answer.
Coffee and not put any pressure behind it. Like, hey, or just very, like, oh my God, you know, some friends of mine, we're all going, you should totally come along. Or if you're not doing anything, make it very casual, get her drunk.
Or just like,
and then see what happens.
Have your tutoring session at a coffee house where you guys can, things can get a little more relaxed and it can go off into just conversation. Mm-hmm. Or like at the end of a tutoring session, be like, hey, you want to go grab a cup of coffee? That way it's no big deal. And it right. gives her the option of saying, oh, I can't, I have to do something else, but we could do it some other time.
Right.
Or, you know, her saying, maybe not. I don't know.
And then he doesn't have to confess his love for her, but he'll figure it out.
Yes.
Because coffee before dinner is coffee. Coffee after dinner is sex. And we all know it. It's the hidden code of coffee. It's the hidden coffee code. Everyone knows. No one drinks coffee after dinner. You want to come up for
yeah,
coffee?
You do.
That's sex.
You go to a nice restaurant, you do.
I'm
no, but do you want to come up for coffee? That's
oh,
that's
no one
sex.
Comes.
Don't
Who's
you think?
Ever come? I've never invited anyone
in the
up
movies.
For coffee.
They do. I've never invited anyone
actually,
up for coffee.
In,
I just say, do you want to come in for sex?
In Grand Theft Auto San Andreas,
I don't say that.
Inviting someone in for coffee is how the
Bounce.
Sex happens.
Really?
Bounce.
Yeah.
Spoken like a true G4.
Hey, speaking of movies,
yeah.
What
should we?
Oh my God.
Okay, so guy has this really.
So wait, have we helped this young man?
Yeah, I think so. I think the coffee. I think our advice is invite her for coffee
invite
or
her for
out
coffee.
With. Friends.
If she wants to spend more time with you, she will go have coffee.
Make it very casual, no pressure, and don't let her think that it's a date right off the bat. Just something that's not tutoring where you guys are together and just see what happens.
Good idea.
I think also he should, to make her jealous, tell her that he has a girlfriend in Los Angeles named Laura.
He can do that if he wants to do
and
that.
And an ex-wife named Louise.
Why do I have to be
and
the ex-wife?
And they're both very famous.
Why can't
Britain?
I just be a porn star that he used to hang with?
Okay.
Why do I have to be
so,
the ex-wife?
So Guy has this encyclopedic knowledge of Oscar history.
Does he
Oscar
really?
Lore.
Don't set it up like this because I'm going to fail.
Okay.
No.
Weezy, throw a year at Guy.
1969.
What category?
Best picture.
Best picture was Midnight Cowboy.
It was? Is he right?
Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes. I only have a few years here.
It varies like how they categorize it because like the Academy Award for 1969 was given in 70.
Oh.
So if you mean the one that was given in 1969, that would be Oliver from 1968.
Okay.
See what I mean?
Fair enough.
Go ahead, throw a year at him, Matt.
1957.
What category?
Well, you should let us guess first. On okay. the waterfront.
All right. No, what,
I have no clue.
What category?
I'm just going to say that for everything.
Best actress.
Oh,
on the waterfront.
I
don't have the answers here, by the way.
It's Susan, I believe Susan Hayward for I Want to Live.
Can you check that?
I'll look that up.
How does he okay. cross-reference this?
So, well, we'll now have to go to the board. See, what I did,
okay.
because it's a really, it's very impressive. It is very impressive.
He's an idiot savant, except that he's not an idiot. He's just a savant.
I've quizzed him.
I am
when
an
I,
emotional retard.
Yeah, I've quizzed him when I have had the Google in front of me and have been able to check the Oscar pages, and he has in fact been correct 95% of the time.
Okay, when did Mike Reagan's mother win an Oscar, and for what?
She won for The Yearling in 1947.
Wow, we're talking about Jane Wyman.
Jane Wyman, yeah. I forgot her name for a second, but I remember that.
I asked the question very cryptically.
It was, no. I can see her face from Falcon Crest.
She's a cutie.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
All right, so.
Oh, no. She didn't. She won for Johnny Belinda. I'm sorry. She was nominated the next year for The Yearling. I'm stupid.
Oh, wow.
She won for Johnny Belinda.
She won
Doesn't
for
matter.
Belinda.
Weezy didn't know.
Yes.
I didn't. I would have accepted
Weezy couldn't
your
have
answer.
Caught it anyways.
We would have gotten all kinds of mail from at least 15 people.
None of our listeners, though.
Because God knows that the people who listen to this podcast love women's pictures from the 1940s.
Look what happened. Him just trying to Google an Oscar site and he got all those pop-ups. Isn't that...
Wow. Well, should we go? Should we just assume we'll give him that one? And should we do the game?
Google.
Sure. Let's.
So the game is I've assembled 1, 2, 3. So I've got 5 clips for you. One of them has nothing, did not win an Oscar at all, but I still want you to figure out the year and then tell me facts about that year. And okay. it's one of my favorite scenes ever from a movie.
All right.
So basically what we're going to do is give you a clip from the film, an audio clip, and then see if you can name the film. And then once you name the film, be able to tell us what year it's from and what other films were in that category.
Okay. And let's just explain to everyone. Somebody asked me how I acquired this amazing skill.
How did you acquire this amazing skill?
I didn't have sex until I was 24. Nice. Thank you.
Also, I don't
Neither
know.
Neither did I, but I didn't.
She still
but I'm left with. Actually, I have a really good ear for harmony. So I think that might have been my savant talent.
They're just some, I don't know if they've won Best Picture, but someone in the film was nominated or got an Oscar.
All right. Like, we'll see how it
goes.
I
had to deal with the DVD collection that I had, not the DVD collection. I had to go to war with the DVD collection that I had, not the DVD collection that I wanted.
All right.
What the hell is she talking about?
That was deep.
Yeah. It was an Army reference.
It's a Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sit home knitting and purling while you slink back like some penitent drunk? I'm your wife, damn it! And if you can't work up a winter passion for me, the least I require is respect and allegiance.
Is that Mildred Pierce?
I don't know her name.
What?
Should you let us guess first?
Oh, is that the? I thought the movie.
Okay, and Matt, by the way, he coached me on this. Yeah. And so whenever a movie, like whenever a clip was the obvious clip, he would go like, no, he'll get that. So we had to go to the, like, she's not the main
she's
star of the movie.
I haven't heard any of these until now.
Do we get to guess?
Probably yeah, go knitting. Ahead, guess.
I think it's Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Right. So the beginning of this film, and I thought I had this clip as well, because I was going to try and do 2 clips, the less obvious one and the more obvious one. But the beginning of the clip is a man saying, I'm telling you that tonight I'm going to resign because of the ratings.
It's Network. It's 1976. That's Faye Dunaway. Faye Dunaway won Best Actress. Best Actor went to Peter Finch, who was the first person to be dead when he won the Academy Award.
But I thought Faye Dunaway was the girlfriend.
What?
Who's the wife, goddammit?
Oh, no. That's Beatrice Straight.
Okay.
No. But is that B Straight or is that...
Hey,
Faye Dunaway?
Hey, I just picked random bites. I don't know anything about
him. He was saying it was the wife.
That was not Faye Dunaway.
No. Oh, B Straight. Her when she won, her speech at winning the Academy Award was longer than the time she was on screen.
Wow.
But it's great. There's one brief scene with her early on, and then there's this scene where she's just yelling at Bill Holden in their apartment. And it's kind of innovative because, like, for 1976, it's her, like, you know how in Husbands and Wives, like, the cameras are constantly trying to follow Judy Davis around? Mm-hmm. Which I believe 1991 she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. It could be off on the air. But the point is that this was very similar in that B Straight is running around.
I love that scene.
And
she's very manic.
Yeah, and the camera can't quite follow her.
And you know what else I remember about it?
Yes.
Is that her name in the film is Louise.
Oh, in Husbands and Wives?
No, in Network.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What other... Network,
Yeah.
Just one other thing. Network almost swept because Ned Beatty ended up losing Best Supporting Actor, but they won all of
Who won? Oh, and by the way, I do see it.
Oh, 1976.
Who won?
George Burns won in 75.
I don't care about 1975. I'm all about 76.
Oh, it's not Melvin... Oh,
no.
It's All the President's Men. All the President's Men, because he won 2 years in a row, he won for Jason Robards. Jason Robards won 1977 for Julia and 1976 for All the President's Men. And then Rocky won Best Picture, which makes no sense.
No sense.
Because how good is Network? Network is amazing.
Network was amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then all I have to say is ding, 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 ding. He got the Faye Dunaway, the whatever, the Finch, the Peter Finch, the Ned Beatty. It's all here. It's all on my 1976
He should go on Oscar Jay Fine. Leno dressed up as a 4-year-old child who has all these answers, and it will be adorable.
It'd be even more impressive. Okay, next clip. And I didn't know what the I don't... Whatever.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
The Graduate.
Yeah.
Oh, all plastics?
Right. Yeah, plastics. Yeah.
That was the obvious one.
All right, so this was 1967. Anne Bancroft was nominated for Best Actress, but did not win. It was a crime that she did not win. She won in 1962 for The Miracle Worker, but she should have won again. Katharine Hepburn won for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner because Spencer Tracy died and they felt sorry for her. So she won Best Actress.
Is that how they give them out?
Yeah, pretty much.
People are going to be having people killed if you reveal that secret.
Dude, Liz Taylor got her first one because she had to have a tracheotomy in 1960.
Wow.
Yeah. After she had stolen Debbie
Reynolds. Well, then how
Debbie
come
Reynolds
Judy Tussman? Garland, who was practically on her deathbed giving birth, didn't win for A Star Is Born?
I don't... See, it's... That was 54. Mm-hmm. And, what's her name won? Audrey Hepburn.
Yeah.
And I think it was, you know, you can't fight with Audrey Hepburn in her first movie.
You really can't. She's perfection.
Yeah. In her way.
In
all
her
right.
own way.
But back to 1967.
Okay, sorry.
So Anne Bancroft was robbed. Sidney Poitier did not win.
Oh,
he won in 63 for Lilies of the Field, but his co-star from In the Heat of the Night, come on, the guy in The Pawnbroker.
Carl Malden?
No. Who's in... Rod Steiger. Rod
Someone
Steiger.
Like, yeah. On the Waterfront?
What? Yeah, Rod Steiger.
It was Rod Steiger. Okay. Who was in the...
He was doing my trick.
Rod Steiger was nominated in 1966. Everyone thought that he would win. And then Paul Scofield won for A Man for All Seasons. And so he was a sympathetic favorite going into 1967. Best Picture of 1967 was In the Heat of the Night.
Okay, let me just say that you got it right.
Okay.
He's not going to stop talking.
Let's go on to the next
clip. No.
I'm a little creeped out. He's going to rock supporting like Rain Man here.
Best Supporting Actor was the guy from Cool Hand Luke, who's in the commercials for Breath Assure. And the winner for Best Supporting Actress was the woman who played Roseanne's mom. And that was for Bonnie and Clyde.
Oh, what's her name?
Let's just go on to the next clip.
Okay.
I think this clip still has to end, but that's fine.
Her name is...
Oh, you can push
play. What is her name?
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar and get on the wall. Come on, move.
Come on, sweetheart, move.
Come on, move. Wait. All right, come on. Can't face the window. Move. Face the wall. Turn around there. Turn around. Move.
Okay, so apparently the "Come on, Popeye's here" might be enough of a clue, but it wasn't one of the it wasn't necessarily one of the main scenes or anything.
French Connection.
Yeah. Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you already knew that. You knew that.
Well, Popeye.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 1971. Gene Hackman won Best Actor. Best Actress was either Best Actress was Glenda Jackson. Is Jane Fonda?
Yes.
I
wouldn't have known that.
Jane Fonda and Glenda Jackson both won 2 Academy Awards in the early 70s.
Oh.
So for the years that they won, I just know that one of the two of them won. Best Supporting Actress was Cloris Leachman for Last Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Best Supporting Actor, I couldn't tell you.
You should be able to, because it's the same movie.
Give me a hint.
Oh, it's Last Picture Show?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Gig Young. No, he went for they shoot horses, don't they? I don't know.
Whoa. Last Picture Show just had a lot of people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's
see. Shepard was in it, right?
It was, well, the guy.
Shepard was in it, yeah.
It wasn't Jeff Bridges.
Okay.
And it wasn't Leonard Fry from what movie?
What? Leonard Fry? I don't know.
Fiddler on the Roof.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Wheezy gets a point.
Yeah.
It was not Richard Jekyll from...
I don't know.
Sometimes a Great Notion. And it was not Roy Scheider in...
Jaws.
Mm-mm. What movie?
Airport?
French Connection.
Oh, French Connection.
And it was a man whose name started with a B's, Baltimore...
Just say it.
Ben Johnson.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
Oh, Ben Johnson. He's that old cowboy guy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right, let's go on to the...
So we stumped you on that one.
Let's go on to the next one.
I hope I edited these right. I
Not You'll sure find if out. I did, yeah. Just a moment.
It's going to piss off Paul Anka if you didn't. And he will slice like a you-know-what kind of hammer.
Fucking?
Oh, yeah. Helps if I turn it up.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm an expert at this, by the way.
One time.
Oh, wait. You have to back up a little bit.
Yeah, I must not have... Hold on here.
You'll tighten this in post, right?
I put the window. Move. Take the ball. Turn around.
God, I love him.
You like getting nailed by the king?
Oh, yes, yeah? I love it. Fuck me, your majesty.
Who's the king?
Oh, you.
Who's the
king? Ooh, the music should give it away.
This one should be really
guess
obvious.
Guess who? I can name the band, American Woman.
It's
but I don't know what movie that is.
I would definitely recognize this clip.
Yeah,
Coming Home.
No, it's the porn. Is it the porn one that was?
No.
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
Fuck Me, Your Majesty.
Last Emperor.
Should I give you the year?
Yeah.
1999.
Ooh, 1999.
Oh, is this Shakespeare in Love? Shakespeare in Love was 1998.
It's not Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, because there was, I don't know.
Do you guys have none of that? Okay. That scene does not ring a bell for you guys.
I'll guess at this.
Okay.
What was
that movie where they just kept playing games with each other about who they could get to sleep with them, and it had a French title?
Dangerous Liaisons.
Thank you.
That was 1988. Glenn Close did not win, which was a tragedy. But no, that's that's not the one with Mark Wahlberg, right?
This is not Boogie Nights.
Okay, yeah.
1999.
I've never seen a film with that much sex. I'm not allowed.
Best picture of 1999 was
it was in
American Beauty, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, American.
Oh, okay. So is this American Beauty?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, who's Your Majesty?
Who says fuck
Kevin
me?
Spacey?
That you guys can't figure it out after that? That was like my favorite scene in the film. Fuck me, Your Majesty?
No, I don't remember that.
None of you?
I don't remember.
Who's
that.
Married to a certain other someone who co-starred with Halle Berry in a movie called
Bullworth?
Right.
Yeah, because she's married to Warren Beatty, who won Best Director in 1981 for Reds, but has never won Best Actor.
So who's so now who is it? And then you can't.
What? Okay, well, that's Kevin Spacey. He won Best Actor.
No. Who was married to?
Who
starred with Halle Berry.
Annette Bening.
Right.
She didn't win. She ended up getting.
She doesn't have to win. This is just.
Right. I know. But the point is she's gotten twice screwed over by the girl that looks like a boy. Every time she has a good chance.
Hilary Swank.
That was your theory from an earlier podcast, is that if you butch up, you will win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love the fact that Hilary Swank has been able to make a career off of the fact that she just kind of looks like a dude. Like, she's won 2 Academy Awards, and that's essentially her only job skill.
You don't think she's a good actress?
I've never seen I never saw Boys Don't Cry. But I thought she was very, very good in the Boxing Dead movie.
I saw Boys Don't Cry, and after I saw it, I predicted that she would win an Oscar just from that performance.
I think she seems just like a nice girl.
And I've heard she's extremely beautiful in real life, like which I would not get from.
I mean, she scored Chad Lowe.
All right, next clip. So it was Annette Bening, Fuck Me, Your Majesty, and wow, I'm surprised. I thought that was obvious. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Darling, is something bothering you? You're really acting like an asshole. And I think I know what it is. I think you're jealous that I'm getting married and that I'm getting all the attention. I think you're just being a little selfish and immature.
Pretty in Pink.
Oh, yes.
No, that's 16 Candles.
That's exactly it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant.
I just have to hear the last part.
Unbelievable. You make someone a bridesmaid and they shit all over you.
if you were going to take a clip from Pretty in Pink, you should totally take Molly Ringwald and Ducky talking about the Warsaw Pact.
I just love you make somebody a bridesmaid and they shit all over you.
Was that 1986?
No.
That won Academy Award?
No, it didn't. I said I threw one in that I just loved.
What year was it?
That was 1984.
Okay, 1984, Best Picture was Places in the Heart.
No, that did not win. But it was 1984.
Oh, okay. So, okay. No. I'm sorry. No, it was Amadeus.
That's correct.
Ephraim Murray Abraham won Best Actor.
Correct.
Dame Peggy Ashcroft was named Best Supporting Actress for A Passage to India.
They, you know what? The Oscar page, they just have Peggy Ashcroft. So,
she's
point
become
for
a dame.
Guy.
Yes. Best Actress was Sally Field. And Best Supporting Actress.
This is a tough one.
Oh, there were 4 years in a row that somebody won whose initials were MS. And I think this... No, that's Best Supporting Actress. Best Supporting Actor. Dr. Hang S. Nyor was 1985.
No. You got it.
Oh, it was Dr. Hang S. Nyor?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I thought there's no way you're going to figure out the,
The Killing Field?
No. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, and we got one more. So far, guys... What are you batting, like 85?
Oh, no, he's batting.
So there were,
not me.
There were six?
Is there one more? There should be one more, yeah.
Oh,
this
maybe,
is Laura overdoing her premise once again.
Was,
that's it. But that had to go back a little
bit. This one time, I'll let you ask me.
Well, oh, yeah, no, you can do that, as long as that's part.
Yeah, well,
that's fine.
This one time, I'll let you ask me about my affairs. No.
What the heck?
That wasn't Sling Blade, was it?
No.
What was it?
A guy, Matt made me. He took Sling Blade away from me. He's like, that's too obvious.
I'm sorry, I couldn't really understand it either.
I didn't understand any of that.
Can you give me a hint?
Let's see. The scene leading up to it was like, or right before. Which is actually part of the same scene is she's hysterical.
Unforgiven?
Did you do it?
Because I heard guns.
Did you do it? Do not ask me about my affairs. Do not.
We didn't hear any of that.
Because that came right before this. Oh. And it might have been too obvious. Yeah. So I was told to clip it here.
Oh, that was a Matt edit. Okay.
Oh,
do not ask me about my affairs. Do not.
And this actor has a very recognizable voice.
Oh, well, let's just hear it.
I don't have the rest of it, but...
Don't ask me about my affairs. I don't know.
And then some Italian music played after that.
Oh, so it's... Godfather?
Godfather?
Yeah.
Godfather, Godfather Part 2. It's Godfather. Godfather is 1972.
That's right.
It was that year, everything was either Cabaret or Godfather. He did not win Best Director. Best Director went to the Cabaret. Best Supporting Actor was Joel Grey. Best Actress was Liza Minnelli. Best Actor was Brando, but he refused it. And the Best Supporting Actor. Tress of 1972. I forget who.
She was in Butterflies Are Free.
Oh, it was Eileen Heckert.
Yeah.
So are we.
Wow, that was probably boring for absolutely everyone else, but for me, it was raw thrill.
I see. He
has a Woody.
I just think it's impressive that you can just like rattle off
really
all
good.
That stuff.
That was really good. And you guys didn't see his hands waving around when he was coming up with the answers.
Louise briefly fell asleep during that.
So again, it's too much production on my part. I need to like limit it to three clips.
Hey, it was a lot of clips, but I was just kind of curious as to whether or not Paul Anka is still yelling at the band because I'm hopeful every week that he will have calmed down. But
a warning. Is that good enough?
What?
For all of you?
What?
I'm on that kind of an integrity kick. You understand where I'm coming from with integrity? And you guys better have the same thing.
He's
because you're all replacing. Do you all like your jobs? Do you want your jobs? Do you?
Yeah, Paul, we want our jobs. Why?
He's the only satisfaction I'm gonna get is to ruin your fucking asses.
What?
Speaking of Hollywood assholes, have either of you seen Being Bonaducci yet?
Oh my God, it's the scariest thing.
I haven't, but last week I saw him on the street.
Really?
I was driving down Sunset.
Okay, was he pacing back and forth with a
no.
cell phone?
He was not. He was he was shirtless. And
you have to get clips from Breaking Bonaducci.
What?
He is raging
he's
lunatic.
Huge.
He's roided up.
He is a loon.
He's roided up. He has like guy with AIDS cheeks because of the steroids.
And he has like, it's like red, like whoosh.
I don't know if
and his facial hair.
Yeah, I don't know if this episode is aired yet, but I hear in one episode he literally downs a fifth of vodka in one straight.
I saw it. He's sitting on a curb in Venice, and he pours like maybe a tiny bit of Gatorade into a bottle of vodka, and he downs it just straight. And he's on a motorized scooter.
Oh my God.
He's just insane.
But I have never seen scripted television that was like. He was like in a therapy session, and what psychiatrist or therapist lets cameras in to watch that? I mean, that is just so unprofessional. But he like takes his wife by the head and says like, "I love you, and I can't stop loving you, and it's not like I have a choice. It's like breathing for me." And I'm like, that's so beautiful. Like, it was this so, like, deeply raw, beautiful, emotional moment, and I was like, that is really good TV right there.
But you know, he keeps telling her, "I can't live without you." And I don't just mean that as a cliche. I truly mean it. And then when she threatens to leave, he slices open his wrists, which is the most manipulative, hardcore, controlling behavior.
I thought he was sober.
No.
Wasn't he sober for what?
They when show he was, him shooting up steroids.
When he was on, he had a morning, he was on a morning show,
you know,
a radio show. And I thought he was sober for a little while.
He's not sober anymore.
So it might be magazine time.
Oh, magazine.
So I'm going to let Guy flip through some stuff.
I first wanted to say about Tom and Katie's baby that I think Tom and Katie being pregnant this quickly actually makes Michael Jackson look like he fathered those children.
So, I mean, do you think she's being held against her will?
Yes. I think she's brainwashed.
I think, like, I don't know. I wonder if, like, secret lesbian and that's why she's doing it, or if it's just for the career boost.
Yeah, what is in it for the women? Because there's been a series of them who have done this for him. What is in it for the women?
I always said with Nicole Kidman, I always said there's no way she's a secret lesbian. Look at how pretty she is. Because no offense to the gals out there, but they just don't keep themselves up like that. And then my friend, she noted in that one movie where the guy tries to kill her on the boat, like her first movie that we saw her in, she's very unkept body hair wise. And she thought that maybe that indicated, loving,
that she, see, loving okay, the pussy. Now we're acting upon the premise that Scientology helps gay guys pretend to be straight and thereby preserving their movie stardom.
Yes, because
we're operating under this premise. You may not agree or approve of this premise in Scientology. Please don't call me because I've had your lawyer sicked on me before when I worked at Premier Radio. I don't
really?
Like it.
Really?
Oh, please.
Tell me.
They're fierce.
Why?
We did a parody spot called Nickel and Diamondetics, and it was it would say things I don't remember how the bit went exactly. This was like 15 years ago, but it would say things like, you know, what's on page 3? The answer's on page 7, you know. I mean, it was just kind of a parody of how they overtake your life and they find your weak points and they prey upon them and they then own you and your soul and all of your offspring.
See, I have the good taste to do that with Swisher personally.
Yes, but
it's not like I'm doing it through a corporation
worldly,
or some holding company.
You know, on a global basis.
I chip away at her self-esteem daily.
I just have to buy you dinner. But I'm not putting thousands and thousands of dollars
down. When was the last time you bought me dinner?
Lala's.
What?
Lala's.
You know, if we all went to a Scientology meeting, we would probably get a free meal.
Okay.
I think we should look into
or
it.
Or a personality test.
Okay, what's going
Louise,
on?
Louise, you have great personal insight into Michael Jackson. What I have here is in a People magazine, I believe.
Right.
It's the image of Michael Jackson with one of his children, I believe Paris or one of the princes. And she has some sort of like caftan, like they always have things over their heads.
Well, don't you find it interesting that he named one of his children after the garment that he drapes over the child? Here, what shall we call him? Well, what do they have him hiding under? Oh, blanket.
It's just so, or the fact that we're supposed to ignore that his children are white. Like,
that's what I meant about the Tom Cruise comment.
Wait, are they adopted though? Doesn't he have? He has a natural child.
No, he claims
child, right?
That he's the biological father.
Yeah, he claims he's the biological
father. I think you know what people look like when they have a little afro in their bloodstream. And
what does that mean? What
that
are you trying to say?
They look beautifully mocha, and these children are not beautifully mocha. They're pasty white
but
children.
But it just depends. There's a there. You never
nothing
know.
Wrong with being pasty white.
You can have from
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying these children are not, a latte. They are
not everyone
straight
comes
up
out latte. Sometimes you come out espresso.
Okay, all three of them. All three of them.
And I mean, let's remember Michael Jackson not as he is now, but as he was.
He was born a black child.
That was a dark skinned, broad nosed individual, and his children look like whites.
They look like they look like. Oh,
so then who impregnated the nurse?
They look like Robert Redford's children.
Do you know Robert Redford's children?
No, but I would like to bear them.
Okay. All right.
Is he old enough for you?
He is.
You guys, one of the core tenets of magazine time is that you move along as you get through the magazine, okay?
Okay, let's keep going. This is Guy's new game called Magazine Time, by the way.
Magazine Time is not a game because no one wins. Everyone wins at Magazine Time.
As Guy said, it's not a game. It's a way of life.
Yes. You said it was a way of life. All right.
I don't look at these, and I don't know what's in them, but...
Angelina Jolie.
Oh, my God. These are
Do you
scary.
Hate her or do you love her?
I love her.
Oh, I hate her.
Want her.
There's very few people in here that I love.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wants to fuck Angelina Jolie.
Really?
She's not human. She's like, I want to fuck Angelina Jolie.
You do? Ew.
Yes. She's like a smoky, cruel succubus. And I think it's entirely possible that if I ever were to get any part of my body inside of her vagina, I would be killed or destroyed by how powerful it is. But still, I want to because she's amazing. And she does UN work.
She has a man-maiming vagina?
Uh-huh. I'm willing to... Yeah, I think so. Your thoughts?
You know, absolutely. It would be a competition from the very first moment. And you may not come out of it alive, much like the male Black Widow spider. But... It'd probably be a good way to die.
I don't think I want to try.
Is Oprah getting fat again?
You know what? She's okay. She doesn't look anymore as much like her head weighs more than the rest of her. Because that's how she was starting out the season.
Yeah.
So I'm a little happy with it.
Okay.
Actually.
Ashton and Demi. I was at the Arclight.
Yep.
After an open mic, I went to the Arclight. And I was just sort of like, the Arclight is a theater here in Los Angeles, and it has like a little gift shop.
I love the Arclight.
And I was just...
It's like you're going on a plane trip.
I was messing around there, and I look up, and there was this very attractive guy, and I was like checking him out, and then I realized that was creepy because he was there with his girlfriend and her daughter's roomer, Tallulah and Scout. And I was like, oh my God. And like the one thing I wanted to see was Demi Moore, because so many of these ladies had so much work that they look creepy now. Like mm-hmm. With the way Meg Ryan and Melanie Griffith had those like big puffy lips and everything. Mm-hmm. And I raced up to look, and she looked really good.
She looked really pretty.
She looked really good.
Yeah, I've seen her. One of her daughters goes to the same school as my nephew, and so Demi and Ashton sat next to me on a bleacher while we were watching a... I don't mean to top your story, because your story was really, really good.
That
I'm sorry.
Bastard's pretty like a girl, isn't he?
I didn't recognize him as Ashton. I just remember thinking, he's way too pretty. And I wonder... But he was just really nice. And I was thinking... I started going off on this philosophical tangent about how when people are that pretty, does the world respond to them the way the world responds to everyone else? And I just went on... I had no idea it was Ashton until a couple days later. I just kind of went off into my own thought process.
The world reacts to me...
What's it?
pretty good. Like, I sometimes I try
You're
and
a good
imagine
template for us to go off of.
I try and imagine what it would be like if maybe at some point someone had thrown acid in my face. Just like, because maybe
about to happen.
It ain't the face they're looking at.
Laura's stacked.
I think Pat had something to say about you.
Oh yeah, Pat's kind of into you.
Yeah, he wanted you with Betsy, I think.
Are you into Betsy?
I want you guys to make out.
He wants you to make out with Betsy.
Betsy has whooping cough.
He wants you to make out.
You guys?
We could, each of us, Guy, you could have Pat if you would be willing to make out with Betsy. That seems to be his stipulation.
I think that, like, you guys should make out and I can describe it to the gentleman at home. We should have some.
That should be.
That's a great idea. Come
that
here, Weezy.
But you know what, guys?
Weezy, that's awesome. That's hilarious. Yeah, come here.
That is such a good idea that forget G4. This could be a 24/7 network.
Auditory hot girl on girl
you
action.
You describing girls making out.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. We don't need her anymore. Like there.
No,
should,
we never actually did.
There should be a half life on someone's celebrity.
Yes.
Where like if they were on, let's say they were on Party of Five for a couple of years.
That would have been all
then,
right.
Then like like 6 years after that, they're not a celebrity anymore. They're not on TV or in movies.
Sienna gets even.
But no.
Sienna screws the new James Bond.
Laura, tell us what it's like being Foxy.
Being that beautiful.
And having people.
Why would you say being Foxy? Now you know that Foxy Brown is deaf. Why Foxy?
Foxy Brown is
Foxy Brown is deaf.
I didn't know
If
that.
You'd gotten to page 83... Instead of dilly-dallying on page 28.
I'm on page 41, and there's a picture of Catherine Zeta-Jones here, and one of my hobbies is looking at pictures of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Really?
How did I mention a Jude Law tidbit, and you didn't pounce on that?
I'm a little bit over Jude Law, but the point is that Louise raised the interesting point, and I have long been of the opinion that if you are able to make people like you just by sort of smiling and having good facial features, you don't acquire a lot of the manipulation skills and reasoning skills that we less crisply featured possess.
And okay,
ooh, look,
what's
David
up with
Spade.
Rosie? What's up with Rosie?
It's called lesbianism.
Oh, okay. Because she, you know, she's big and loud.
Yeah, she really is, and it's strange because before she came out, she managed to be funny frequently, and now she's just sort of like scary and aggressive. Have you ever read her blog?
No.
Oh my god, her blog is it's the creepiest thing ever. I like to
Why?
Say it's like the poetry of Sappho if it were in no way lyric. Like, it's this weird stream of consciousness thing that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, and you know what that sounds like? Remember Larry King's column? Where we just suddenly go, I like toast, and then move on to the next thing?
Yes.
Just like apropos of nothing?
Hers is
that
like,
what it was?
It's similar to that, but so much worse. Like, she uses the word yellow to mean good, and she'll have like a whole, like, her post will be like, I saw Bette Midler yesterday. She's so yellow. I just love her. Oh, look, I want some soup. And
half she write in haiku or something?
Larry King's column.
Half the things are like misspelled and...
Because Larry King would just suddenly in his column, and there would be like dots in between the things so that they didn't have to connect. Like that was his excuse to write the column, and like the amount of time it took him to think up the thoughts, like 3 minutes he wrote the column. And so there'd be a dot. He would say, I like toast, and there'd be a dot. And then he would say, it can't be said often enough.
Toast is
Rosie
good.
Clooney can sing. And then there'd be a dot, and then the next random thought.
You know, it can't be said enough. Rosie Clooney can really sing.
Weezy, did you know the guy was recognized on the street today?
No, by who?
I was not today. Yesterday, I was outside of Groundworks, and some guy.
It was a coffee shop.
Yeah, where there's an open mic. A guy recognized me from X Play.
Do you know what you're supposed to do? If
yes. Are you on X Play?
No,
frequently.
They put me on sometimes.
So here's the question for you, Guy. What happens if someone comes up to you and they want your autograph and they bring you a picture of you that is unflattering? What do you do?
I would autograph it because any publicity is good publicity.
Wrong. That's the wrong way
There's
to
no
do
wrong
it.
Answer to that question.
No,
Laura.
That is the wrong answer. Because according to Jodie Foster, what you do is...
Oh, is that In Touch?
No, this is not In Touch. This is Star. I'm
okay.
Reading Star. So what you do is you take the picture from the person and you rip it up. And then you signal to your bodyguard that you want another picture, a good one, and you sign that picture and give that to the fan. Guess who she learned that from?
Who?
Robert De Niro.
Oh, can I tell a story along those lines?
Please. Guy, do you have headshots yet, though?
I had them taken, but I haven't actually received them yet.
Okay.
Okay, along those lines, and you're going to love it.
Okay.
When I worked at Premier Radio, and we would get a lot of press kits and about bands so that we could write about them, whatever. So the best press kit I ever got was a brand new headshot of Richard Marx, and then posted very, very dramatically and very, very... What's the word I'm looking for?
What?
Like in your
melodramatically
face.
Melodramatically or?
No, like just dramatically and in the forefront.
Yeah.
Or, it's, you know, in other words, so that you couldn't miss it and that you had to pay very close attention to this instruction was, please destroy all previous headshots of Richard Marx.
Why
prominently. I'm sorry.
Was the other one bad?
I guess. I didn't know that Richard Marx could take a bad picture, but apparently he thinks that he could. So we went around and systematically searched and destroyed every previous headshot. Because this is a radio network.
It's like de-Stalinization.
Do you know what I did systematically to a certain series of headshots?
What?
What's that?
I autographed them. Were they my headshots? No. they were a big time celebrities. And I worked at a PR firm, and I went through and autographed.
Who?
So there are legions. I can't say. Who? I'm not going
to
say.
Oh, you have
I can't
to.
Get the initials. Publicist. I'm not getting.
Will you tell me on the car ride home?
Yes, but I'm not going to get the. Okay. I don't want to get anyone in trouble.
I'm an insider.
If in 1998 they'd gotten an autographed picture from
I
a mega star,
Luke.
No, still a mega star.
It wasn't Ian Ziering? Okay. So I...
Ian Ziering will always be a megastar.
My first job in Hollywood was I was an intern on the John Davidson talk show. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. Okay. His manager was a man named Billy Delbert. And I walked in on Billy...
having sex.
Worse. Autographing... John Davidson headshots. As John Davidson and sending them out to people. So, people, when you get your headshot in the mail, don't automatically put it up on eBay as authentic, because you don't know that.
What was John Davidson famous for? He was on
hair, his hair, right?
Nice sweaters.
But no, he was on some like entertainment. Like,
okay,
it or not.
Here's how it all began. Remember those Disney movies where he was the boyfriend of the girl in the singing band or something? You know, the traveling. Okay, Disney movies like with Kurt Russell, those kind of Disney movies.
Cat from Outer Space.
No,
that's
like
what I was
more
thinking.
Singing and dancing, like
Magic
more
Mountain.
like are we going to turn
Million Dollar
Kansas
Duck?
Into a state? Million. You know,
are you sure that wasn't a subplot of Million Dollar Duck?
It was around maybe the era. You have the era correct, but okay. He was like this handsome young man,
yes.
And.
Thomasina was Thomasina. Oh,
you're very, very close. You're doing well. You're doing well. I want to say the magnificent traveling band, one and only genuine original family band. And Fred McMurray, I'm sure, had to be in it. What are you looking at? So he wasn't really famous for anything. But then Mike Douglas wanted to retire, so they gave him a talk show because they thought you don't necessarily have to be like smart and interesting like Mike Douglas. You could just be handsome. To housewives, that's what they thought. They were wrong.
It seems to be the core argument of Hollywood these days.
I know.
Speaking of just handsome, look, it's Ricky Martin.
Ricky Martin.
Are we like? I'm so like. I was actually.
I think he's beautiful.
He's beautiful.
He's gorgeous. He's the gayest person on the planet.
Yeah, he is. But
and
he's beautiful.
If I were that pretty, I would never speak to a woman again. Seriously, honestly, I would just spend the rest of my life.
But we don't know that he does.
Precisely. I like to imagine that his day is like, wake up, write a song in Spanish, translate it into English, fuck 19-year-olds from like. 10:30 in the morning.
Is that your
on.
Dream day, guy?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can't you fall in love with a man your own age who would be, equal, intellectual, prowess? And
really? How likely am I to find an equal, Louise?
Well, I know. We're
especially,
dreaming.
Especially.
As long as we're dreaming, not dream about that instead of 19-year-olds?
Because
he's gay.
You'd be more fulfilled.
Because, like... You know, once you remove women from your dating pool, I mean, the likelihood of finding a human being
or caring about someone's insides
who's interesting or wonderful is it's reduced.
Okay,
women
now that we're
amazing.
On that subject, I have a question because I'm very interested in gayness.
Yes.
Okay.
You start with a finger. Yes.
No, I don't want to know those kind of details.
Okay.
I don't want to know those kind of details. Okay.
All right.
What I want to know is, and this is just kind of, this is interesting to me. Okay, because I was verbally attacked by a pack of angry lesbian poets recently while doing stand-up comedy.
Those bitches.
And I realized that the dynamic that was in place in the room, which was full of angry lesbian poets, was that anybody potentially could either be in love with and or jealous of anybody else because... It's just a free-for-all, okay? Because everybody's a girl and everybody's in love with girls. Okay. But guys who are gay have women to talk to.
Yes.
Who do lesbians talk to?
Well, it's very, very strange because there is like something that's known as a Dutch boy. That's, it's a boy who hangs around with lesbians. But that's really rare and a little bit strange. Like, it's an odd subset of guys who really likes... hanging around with lesbians. Like, I don't think any man loves pool that much. But lesbians always have a cadre of internally questioning straight girls around them that they can, like, be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
But they eventually get turned into lesbians. And so it requires...
And here's the reason I think they're angry.
Which is why, since I've come to Los Angeles,
right.
there has been a constant, like, onset, like a wave of lesbianism coming at me. And I hate them as a people. I resent them.
Really?
Yes. I'm allowed two lesbian friends. And anything more than that is just, it's more than I want to have to deal with. And I have to keep them away from my little swisher. Like, you don't know. I mean, this is just,
So you're fending them off for her.
Not on her behalf. I think she enjoys the attention. That's the last thing I need is my best friend in Los Angeles turning into one of them.
Oh, you really think they could recruit?
Yeah. The thing is that girls convert girls all the time. Guys never convert guys. Like.
This is interesting, though.
Don't look at Matt.
This is interesting because there was
is off the table.
Matt is off the table. I could never convert Matt.
There was a. I wasn't able to go, but there was an after party for our show but the network launched and then there was a party and then there was an after party, and at the after party apparently everybody got smashed. And women were making out with, like, on the you play the dare game. Like, oh, I dare you to do this. And so there were women making out. And then I think one of the guys, the straight guys, had to kiss or exchange underwear with one of the other guys. And as the story is being told, one of everyone's is like, and where's the straight guy in the story? Meaning the speculation being that the straight guy was enjoying the fact that he was forced to kiss another guy. And one of the other guys that was told to kiss a guy just refused.
Right. That is what a straight man would do.
Just refuse.
Yes.
Because I think what I was trying to establish is that everybody needs someone to talk to where sex is off the table.
Yeah.
It's very safe. It's very comforting. And that's why we have girlfriends. And that's why gay men have girlfriends. And since guys aren't that chatty, straight guys,
yeah.
who do lesbians talk to where sex is off the table?
I don't really know that they do.
That's why they're so pent up.
Right. Because it's this constantly this constantly flowing group of women who are all either like they've either dated in past or they're currently dating or they're going to be dating in future. And they're just constantly stealing each other's girlfriends. And I can't deal with that much gossip.
It's so much drama.
There's so much drama when it's all ladies involved.
Obviously we need to get a lesbian in here to
defend.
Yeah, to
we're being unfair.
Yeah, lesbian, fine.
I'm not blaming them. I'm just saying.
Don't bring in a drag queen, though. The minute you get a drag queen in here, you'll never get them out. It's like an infestation.
No, they're not coming.
Yeah.
But you know what? Can I just say, since Guy just made that comment, we are at 96 minutes,
and
which
I
is
have to
the
go.
Longest.
I really have to go.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. You just beat Ron Zone in. You beat the record.
Speaking of drag queens and never getting them out of the studio.
Screw you.
Go home, Guy.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies.
It was a blast. You beat our all-time record holder. Awesome.
Time flew.
It's because we did like a half of an hour of movie trivia.
Whoa. I did not need to hear that.
It was beautiful.
And then we did some magazine time, and
all right,
we had two.
Bye.
We didn't even get to the Supreme Court.
I have to go teach kids at the sports.
Bye.
Sports.
Well,
bye.
We gotta go. Okay.
Bye.
Hey, Wheezy and Swish, let's slice like a hammer. Fucking hammer.
We slice like a hammer.
you gotta be into Betsy too.